Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Mark. God is so good. He is so much better than we could ever possibly imagine. Hey? I went to the conference this week, and for me, it was not a very easy conference, and I'll tell you why as we go. But the last day of the conference, I believe the Lord spoke to me, and he told me he wanted me to share the conference through my eyes to you. And I thought, well, I can do that in 10 minutes. So I went up to Pastor Glenn and Joan, and I said, I think, the Lord wants me to share. And I said, oh, well, who's supposed to? I went, no, I don't need to preach. I just wanted like a 10-minute testimony. And, okay, that's fine. And then we're driving home, and Megan texts me and says, can you preach? And I went, oh, okay. I get the idea. I figured it out. So I'm going to take my 5-minute testimony and stretch it out. So I'm going to tell you what happened to me and what I got out of the conference. And we'll go down a few rabbit trails on the way. I actually did them on purpose this time. But it all kind of started with a couple of months ago. Marge said, I want to go to the conference. And I said to Marge, I have no idea how in the world we could pay for such a thing. Like right now, our finances just aren't there. Oh, she said, and she left it at that. And 2 weeks later, she said, I want to go to the conference. And I said, how are we? I don't know how to pay for it. Oh, she says. And 2 weeks later, I want to go to the conference. I finally figured out that she wanted to go. So what I did is I went, okay. And I still don't know how to pay for it. But so we agreed and we registered and we went. It's always best to do what the Lord suggests. And I thank God for Marge, because if it wouldn't be for Marge, I wouldn't have went. Pardon? She just knew we had to go. And because all I could see was no way to pay for it, right? And I didn't want to run up the credit cards anymore. But Jeremiah 7:23, it says, obey my voice that it may go well with you. So I went with Marge and I. Abraham, God asked Abraham to give up his son. And that's a whole lot more than God asking me to go to conference for a week. And I had all kinds of reasons. Work was piling up, and I really didn't know if I should take a week off at work. But in the end, it was God. I went. And when God called Abraham to give up his son, I am pretty sure Abraham wasn't too happy about it. But he did it. And you know what? His son was not a 2-year-old who didn't know what was going on. I think the timeline suggested he was close to 16 or 18 years old at the time. He'd been to lots of mountains, and he had made lots of sacrifices. He knew what was going on, which says something about Isaac as well. So they go to this mountain, which is like a 4-day journey, I think, from where they were, on a camel. So Abraham and Isaac both have 4 days to think about this as they're traveling towards this mountain. And then Abraham made Isaac carry the wood up. And by this time, Isaac is wondering what's going on, because there's no sacrifice. They didn't bring one with them this time. And so he's carrying the wood up. It's kind of kind of the same as Jesus. Hey, he had to carry his own cross to his own sacrifice. Isaac took his own cross, his own wood. So they built the altar, and Isaac is going, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham's saying, oh, there'll be one. Don't worry about it. It'll be there. So they get there. There's no sacrifice. I wonder what Isaac thought when Abraham grabbed him and tied him up and tossed him on the altar. Anyway, and that's when the angel showed up and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. All the nations will be blessed, and his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. This was Abraham's desire. It was his one, his main desire. You know what? I really don't care if I have lots of descendants. I can't figure out why this would be such a desire, but it was a different culture. And in that culture, it was important. And it was definitely important to Abraham. And you know what? It was important to God, too. Abraham's desire was God's desire. I wonder if Abraham knew that. You know, there's so often we have desires in our hearts. And I think a lot of times God puts those desires there. And because we desire them, we think they're not God. Where do we get the idea that God always wants us to do something we don't want to do? I don't know where that comes from. The devil. There you go, Sean. The devil. I don't think the devil knows what God wants either. Anyway, it's possible. But all nations would be blessed. It was the desire of Abraham's heart. Psalm 37:4-7 says, take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun. I really believe if we spend time with God, if we really spend time with him and get to know him on a consistent basis, he will take any of the dire desires we have that are not him, and they'll just fade away. And the desires that are left will be the desires God wants for your life. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time wondering whether it's God or not. If we spend time with him and we really want it, you know, God will shout to you if you should not do it. And most of the time, our desires are God's desires. But we kind of throw them aside thinking, well, that's just me. And I think we need to maybe stop doing that. And I'm speaking to myself because I have tossed a couple of desires out that I've always wanted to do. In the last 5 or 6 years, I've just kind of said, well, that'll never happen, and I've forgotten about them on purpose. And now I'm wondering whether I should bring them back because they're still there. Psalm 145:17-20 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. All who love him. You know, so it's a really good thing if God prompts you to do something or go to conference to probably go. So, we went. And like I said, this wasn't an easy conference for me to go to. Not just because I didn't know how we would pay for it. But when we got there, it wasn't all floating on clouds and enjoying the presence of the Lord. At least for me, it wasn't. We got there on Monday night. So Tuesday morning, we got there. And the morning went as conferences usually go. But I got a phone call from work. On Monday night, Monday afternoon. No, it was Monday morning, but I had the phone on silent, so I phoned them back. And there were things at work that weren't going well. I have somebody, a supervisor that works for me, who is getting really, really frustrated. And so I kind of walked them through it a little bit and talked them off the ledge. So then on Friday night, praise and worship starts. Tuesday night. The service starts on Tuesday night, and praise and worship starts. And all I could think about was work. And then there was anxiety, and what if this guy gets so frustrated he's going to quit? And I'm going to get back to work, and I'm going to have to do everything all by myself, and I'll have nobody to help me. You know, and the anxiety just jumped on me really, really bad during praise and worship. And I thank God I knew what it was, and I knew it wasn't God, and I knew that work wasn't falling apart. But the feeling was so strong that everything was going south. And tomorrow when I go back to work, it would all be really bad. And you know, usually anxiety is the worst at 3 in the morning. Usually. But this was 7:30 at night, 7:30 in the evening. And I could not get by it, and I could not enter the presence of the Lord in worship, because all I could think about was how bad everything was going to work. So it took me it's a good thing praise and worship lasted an hour, because it took me about 40 minutes to get over this. And I had to fight it. It was an attack. And I had to fight it. I had to sit down, and I had to fight, and I had to shut my brain off, and it doesn't go off with the flick of a switch. Psalm 9:9, and you know what? We all know anxiety is not good for us. We all know that we're not built to walk around with anxiety all the time. So I'm not going to bother with any scripture verses saying that anxiety is not for us, because we all know that. But there's a ton of verses that say that God will look after us. Yes. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalm 10:14, but you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and you take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place, and you will protect me from the trouble surrounding me with songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance. Praise and worship. God will protect us as we put it aside and do our best to enter into praise and worship. And I did that. I finally got it aside. There was a song left. So I had about 20 minutes I could enter into worship. But it was the worship that broke it. You know, when I finally got to the point where I could just center my mind on God and forget about work, it broke. And I could worship him. Psalm 37, 39 to 40. Salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them from the wicked, and he saves them because they take refuge in him. Proverbs 12:25. This is what Pastor's talking about this morning. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Laughing will cheer it up. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Paul said, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, Philippians 4:13, a few verses later, said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that includes putting away anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, that verse in context is talking about young men who are concerned about the leadership of the church. And he's saying, take that anxiety and put it onto Jesus. He'll look after you. It's interesting. I mean, so many people get so concerned about the leadership of the church when they don't like the way it's going. And they get upset. And they walk out the door and never come back. But you know, that's not what God says. God says, just take your anxiety, put it on him, because he cares for you. He's not going to let the leadership of a church go south and ruin your life. He will remove the leadership of the church before that happens. So, I know this is way off in left field. That rabbit's moving. And I know I'm part of the leadership, but you know what? I mean, you are always welcome to come and talk to any of us. But your care really should be put on the Lord, because he cares for you, and he's not going to let us hurt you. You know, and there is nobody in our leadership team that wants to hurt anybody. In fact, we sometimes go the other way, and I think sometimes we kind of water down some things a bit because we don't want to hurt somebody. Water down's the wrong word. Water down's the wrong word. But we try and find a way to do what God wants us to do without being bold in your face and hurting people. And we try and soft pedal it because we don't want anybody to be hurt. But really, you should take your concerns and cast them on the Lord, because he cares for you. He'll look after you. And even if you do get hurt, he'll see you through. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. God will see you through to the other side. And the anxiety is just an attack. It's an attack. And we have to recognize it as that. If we get anxious about something or we worry about something, sometimes the attack is from our own head, but it's an attack. And we need to learn to recognize it as an attack and fight it instead of feeding it and regurgitating it over and over and over again. I have lots of times woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning anxious about something. Hey? And it's usually pretty strong at that point, and it usually takes me 40 minutes to get over it. But if you recognize what it is when it comes, you can get over it. But if you just let it run your thoughts, you're going to have a horrible day. Anyway, I got through it. and we worshiped the Lord, and it was a good night. And there was a fellow named Craig. What was his last name, Pastor? Craig Baroker from Calgary. The man is amazing. He's hilarious. You know? He talked about, and this is an interesting topic, he talked about Jesus using the power of God for his own means. And he pulled out about 3 different areas where Jesus used the power of God and did something miraculous that was out of the ordinary as far as the world goes for himself. One of them would be turning the water into wine. There was no preaching involved. There was no healing involved. Everybody had drank all the wine that was already there, so they were all drunk. And his mom comes to him and says, "We need more wine. These guys aren't drunk enough." And what does Jesus do? He makes her some so they can get more drunk. I don't know. And I laughed at him. He said, "What would our theology do if it said God made beer?" It's an interesting thought. He talked about Jesus walking on the water, you know, when he was going somewhere, and he had no intention of stopping at the boat where the disciples were rowing through the water. He was just in a hurry to get to the other side. And so instead of walking around, he walked on it. I'd never thought of that before, you know.
He said he wouldn't stop the boat because he was making better progress than the guys.
Yeah, he was walking faster than the guys were rowing. So he didn't want to stop because it would take way too long then to get to the other side. I don't know if that's true, but it's kind of funny. Yes. So the second day, we went to the morning sessions, and they were really good. And Marge wanted to go shopping. So we went shopping. Hey, we sat in the car. We punched up the GPS. We went malls. And we found one, and off we went. And we went shopping. I don't know if you guys know, but my feet aren't the best. That's why I kind of sit down a lot. So we went shopping, and when we were done, my feet were really sore. They were really sore. And so on the second night, which would have been Wednesday night, we go to the evening service. And again, it's time for praise and worship. I can't stand because my feet just hurt so much. And I got through a song, and then I had to sit down because I just couldn't stand anymore, which is fine. I just sat and I worshiped sitting down. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, sometimes we just have to take the way we feel and set it aside. You know, and it's the same thing with anxiety, right? You just got to take the way you're feeling and you just got to put it aside. Well, this one wasn't a mental problem like anxiety was. This was actually physical, and my feet were really, really, I don't remember when they hurt that much. So maybe that was a spiritual attack as well, because we didn't walk that far. It was a small mall, and I walked up and down, and it was done. Really. I mean, we weren't in there more than half an hour, I don't think, hey? Well, the only store I wanted to go in was a CD store. None of them. The rest of them were all closed, so I didn't really care about that. Right? It's only one store that, well, actually, there were two. One was a used CD store, and one was a new one. And the new one was the same price as the used one, so I went, what's with that? But that's why it was so fast. I spent most of my time in there looking at stuff that was really old. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of his lips that openly profess his name. So I had to work through the pain in my feet on the second night so I could worship God. Again, it was distracting me. It was trying to pull me away from the presence of God. And I did. I got over it. I had to sit down, but that's okay. I sat down. I put my hands in the air, and I did everything I could not to think about feet, to think about the Lord instead. And so we did. James 5, 13 and 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray. Hey, here is praise and worship along with sickness again. Interesting, hey? The fellow that preached on Thursday, his name was Richie. What was his last name? I got all the first names. Remember?
Seltzer.
Richie Seltzer. He's from Calgary, too. And he was the one that said that we need to laugh. We need to laugh. The medicine in the Bible is the medicine in the Bible is laughter. A merry heart does good like a medicine. And so he had us laugh. And he had us laugh for probably 5 minutes right before he started to speak. And then he said, like I mentioned when we opened, I think I said that then, that way too often we pray the problem instead of the solution. Way too often we're up here and we're believing God for healing and we're all very somber and we're very sober because things hurt and we're looking for healing. And we think it's a very somber, sober thing. And the more sober and somber we are, the better a chance we have of getting healed. Well, it's because it's a serious thing, right? I mean, if you come up here to be prayed for healing, I mean, it takes guts, first of all, to get out of your chair and walk to the front. So it's important to you to get the healing. And so, I mean, I understand the way we work, the way we think. It's important to us, so we're going to strive for it. But God said that maybe we should just laugh it off. Literally, laugh off whatever you're healing, whatever you need for healing, laugh the sickness off. Concentrate more on him. He said more people get healed during praise and worship than during prayer lines, which is kind of interesting because you're concentrating on him and not on your sickness, right? You know, so, and that was kind of an eye-opener for me because, I mean, there's prayer line and we up here and we play, for lack of a better term, we kind of play elevator music to keep things going so there's not any dead spots. And I call it that because that's what I think of it a lot of times. I'm just playing along, you know, my mind just goes off somewhere and my fingers just go. But maybe what we should be doing next time is actually celebrating. Take a praise and worship song or a couple of them and let's do a couple of more praise and worship songs as praise and worship songs and let the healing line take its own course. So I'm thinking maybe next time we have a healing line, instead of just playing soft music in the background, we're actually going to worship. And if it's louder than the healing line, so be it. So I think we need to stop focusing on the disease and start focusing more on the Lord. So the service ended. And at the end of every service in the evening, they had a hospitality time. And you go over there and you visit and you eat. And the food was great. But on the Wednesday night, I mean, we were sitting at the table with Rob and Lois. And we were visiting and we had a really good time. But there's a bit of a ruckus going on in the worship center. Now, the way they had it set up, the worship center and their hospitality center was in the same room, just with a wall, dividing wall. So there was like 8 feet above the wall where it was open all the way across. So there's something going on over there, which I ignored because my feet just hurt too much to get up and go look. And, you know, we finished eating what we were eating and we went back to the hotel. So we got up for prayer on Thursday morning, and we went down there. So Rob Parker, of course, is leading prayer, and he has everybody come to the front. And he starts to lead prayer, and he can't talk because he's just so emotional, you know. And he can't lead in prayer because he can't talk. And then Dave McGrew, or was it Lenz Oderman? I think it was Lenz Oderman, took the mic from Rob and had Pastor and Joan come up. Because the ruckus the night before was them praying for Pastor. It was. They had spent a lot of time. They probably spent at least an hour just praying for him. And so when they called Pastor, or my pastor's up, the thing that was on Rob Parker landed on me. And I just started to cry. And I cried and I cried. And I went and sat down in a seat in the back row so nobody would see me crying, but I couldn't stop. But these are my pastors, these two people, Glenn and Joan. They're not my preacher. They're not my cleric. They're not my minister. They're my pastors. And there's a difference. There's a big difference. Your preacher is someone who preaches at the church that you go to. You can call that your preacher. So it could be anybody at any time who's got the microphone. Your pastor is somebody who will guide you in the way you should go, that will help you to see what God wants for your life and do their best to help you attain it. That's not always fun for them or for us. You know, sometimes the conversations are not fun when you're heading off in the wrong direction and they see it and they need to sit down with you and say, you know what, God is saying you need to come back and not do that. If they're your pastor, you will trust them, and whether you like it or not, you will follow their advice. Because again, cast your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. They may miss it, and they may tell you you need to come back and not do that, and they could be wrong. But in the end, if you come back and you do what your pastor suggests you do, God will make sure that you'll have another chance to do what you think God is leading you to do. I remember we led youth a long time ago, and we went to Saskatoon Christian Center. And while we were there, you know, that movement where everybody laughed all the time, it broke out that Friday night or that evening at the Saskatoon Christian Center. And our youth group got a hold of it. And we brought it back. We brought it back to the church. And I knew it was God. But we got back to the church, and one of the girls in the youth group found out that her grandma had passed away while we were there. So I sat her down and I said, you know what, don't let this rob from you what God did about the laughing. We need to keep that up. We need to laugh. And then one of the elders came to me and said, no, That's wrong. We need to take it seriously, and we need to show these people that we love them. And we need to mourn because they're mourning. And I was so upset because it was wrong. I mean, this was a move of God. We're going to bring it back. But I knew what God had called me, and I knew who my pastor, and it wasn't pastor that said that, by the way. It was one of the elders. And so I said, well, okay, we will mourn. And I kind of coughed when I said it. And we never got the laughter. It never came. It never came that weekend. I was so excited to bring it home to our church and have it just go right through the whole building, and it never happened. But about 3 months later, I don't even know if we had a guest minister, but I know Jim Lee was, I think it was Jim Lee that, and he prayed for me, and I just dropped like a sack of rocks, and I started to laugh. And I started to laugh. And he'd walk by, and when I'd stop, he'd kick me, and I'd start to laugh again. And then everybody started to laugh. And we did get it. It was 3 months later than I thought. But you know what? God is faithful. I am sure that if I would have got upset, and I would have got mad, and I would have stormed off the pastor and said, nah, that it would have come to our church, I probably would not have gotten it. I probably would have missed it. It would have still came, but I would have missed it. You know, so of course leadership makes mistakes. We just need to go with it and trust that God will do what he wants to do. And he did. And we had that laughter for probably 6 months, eh? For quite a while. Jeremiah 3, 14 and 15. The Lord says, I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town, two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. And then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. You know, if ever there's a verse for us, this is it. How many of us moved to Prince Albert? And how many of us grew up here? Just curious, how many people moved here from somewhere else? It's probably about 85% of us. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. And I don't know why I was crying. I have no idea, but it came off of Rob Parker, and it landed on me. And I started to cry. And I went back and I sat down because I didn't want anybody to see me crying. It even fooled Marge for quite a while. It was funny, you know, we went and sat down in the seat, and there was a box of Kleenex there that morning waiting for me. The night before, someone had put a box of Kleenex on that row. And there I sat down in my chair, and there's this box of Kleenex, and I can't quit crying. And I'm crying. And then Dave McGrew said that they prayed for Pastor and Joan, or for Pastor last night. And then the enemy came to me and said, you should have been there. You weren't. You were over there more concerned about your hurting feet than you were praying for your pastor. And that hurt. You know, it kind of dug in. But I knew what it was. The strangest thing was God's doing something inside of me because I can't quit crying. And so is the devil. They're both inside of me, just that one's in my head and one's in my heart. So I had to decide which one I was going to go with. It took me a while. It took me a while. Again, it probably took me 20 minutes or so, because that's how long prayer lasted. And then Joan got up, and I just had it under control. And Joan stood up and said, you know, one of the hardest things Pastor had to deal with was people drawing back because they didn't know what to say to him when he was sick. And then it hit me again. I said, there you go, you drew back. When you came here, God told you to help him, and all you did was draw back. And then I started to cry again. And again, I knew what it was. I knew what it was. And so I kind of dealt with that. But I never stopped crying through this whole time. And then Richie stands up and says, "Everybody needs to laugh." And I can't stop crying. Have you ever tried that? It doesn't work. Ha, ha, ha. I tried four times, and every time I ended up sobbing instead of laughing. And after the fourth time, I just quit trying. Let it go. Whatever God's doing, I guess he'll know what he knows what he's doing. You know, God always knows what he's doing. God always knows what he's doing. You know, Pat, we had a meeting one time, I'm sure I've shared this before, but had a friend day one time. I brought very good friends. Pastor preached a very, very hard message. And I was so mad at him. And God said so clear, he said, "Relax, I know what I'm doing." And it never occurred to me that maybe Pastor was doing what God said. Never even occurred to me that he was preaching a message God wanted him to preach. But God knows what he's doing. Eh? So, you know, I just sat back and I cried. And I went through half a box of Kleenex at least. Holy, it took till 2 o'clock before I quit blowing my nose. And I don't know what God did during that 4 hours I cried. I really don't. I don't know what was preached on. I didn't hear anything that was said. You know, God did something inside of me. And when God asked me to share all this with you, I said to God, I said, "How can I share when I don't know what you did?" He said, "So, share it anyway." So I really don't know exactly what God did when I cried for 4 hours on Thursday morning. You know, but my eyes were sore until the next day. I cried we'll go there. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to let go and let God do what God's going to do. You know, I didn't wail and I just couldn't stop crying. Every story that was told made me cry. Every point that the preacher made me cry, even though I don't remember what they are. And I would just get it under control, and somebody would talk about a story about somebody getting healed, and I would cry again. And if you know me, I'm not like that. I don't cry that much. And so I really can't tell you what God did for me. I'm hoping that I'll know someday, but I might never know. I may not ever know. But God did something. You know, you can't be in the presence of God and have it affect you without you being changed. You know, when we come to church, and sometimes the preacher is pretty boring, and sometimes you don't get anything out of it, not because he's not preaching what God wanted, but usually because you're worried about your anxieties going on in your head, or your feet hurt, or whatever, and you just can't get over it. But you know what? You can't come to church and be in the presence of God without it changing you. It will change you for the better, or it'll drive you out the back door, but you cannot come without it affecting you. Even if you end church and you don't feel any different than when you came, you are different. God changes you all the time, and not for the worse. God is not like, God will change you for the better all the time. And it's so important to go to church. It's so important to have a pastor, because God can, well, I can't say he can't. God can do anything. TV, sitting in your living room and watching TV just doesn't do the trick. First of all, the guy can't talk to you personally. You can't go to him with what you're struggling with and get some advice. And the presence of God just is not the same in your living room like it is here. There's something about when everybody gets together to worship God, there's a corporate presence of God that you don't get at home. And you don't leave the same ever. You never leave here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Monday night the same as when you came in. Because you cannot be in the presence of the Lord without it changing you. I don't have anything else to say. That was the conference for me in a... Holy smokes, in 45 minutes. I didn't think I would make 15. God did something inside of me. I was there because God said I should be there. And, you know, the devil fought it all the way with so many different things. I don't remember ever going to a conference and having to fight so much to get into the presence of God. But I did. I got there every night. I just maybe didn't get there for as long as everyone else did. You know, but I got there, and God is awesome, and God is wonderful. So I would encourage any of you, if you want to go next time, to go. Take the time off and go. And don't think of it as a bunch of church services in a row for a week. Don't think like that. You know, think of it more as the presence of God every day for a week. Because it was amazing. Pastor is so much better than he was a week ago. And we're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep praying. And I think maybe, and this is up to Pastor, but I think we should take some of our prayer nights, some of our Monday nights, and put him in the middle and spend an hour on him and him alone, and do it at least once a month until he is completely back to normal. Because this is something we're going to have to fight for a while. It's not going to be a miraculous boom, it's done. The healing is going to be a little bit at a time. At least that's what I think. You know, and I don't know, is it Steve or Megan, whoever schedules prayer, I would like to see one Monday a night, just an hour spent praying for Pastor and Joan. But, you know, whatever you guys decide. So I have nothing else to say. Whose turn is it to come up, take the microphone?